This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 23, 2022, the 19th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
He whose service is pleasing to the Lord will be accepted. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We need to get our minds right about what we do in the service of God. He whose service is pleasing to the Lord will be accepted. The other side of that coin would surely be that he whose service is not pleasing to God will not be accepted. It flies in the face of what we hear in our day and age. God just doesn't care. Everything that you've done, if you think it's good, that's fine. No, it's not. It's got to be acceptable to God. The context of that passage is Sirach, the reading from Sirach chapter 35. It actually starts, and this is one of those times I'm not bad-mouthing the whole, you know, abbreviated lectionary kind of thing like that. There's only so much you can read. And it's two chapters, 34 and 35, and they speak of worship. That is the context of the remarks of some Sirach. When we come to worship, what we bring to worship, whose service is pleasing to God, it will be accepted. And again, what is not pleasing to God will not. When we look at this, not only does it fly in the face of the way God is presented in our day and age, it really negates us doing what we're supposed to do for him, things that he accepts and things he doesn't. And it's not up to you. It's not your subjective opinion as to what's wrong. Well, I think that's okay. Whatever. It's not what you think. It's what's acceptable to God. Look at the gospel today. To go into the temple, our context, the church, they go to Mass. When they come to Mass, one, he's bragging on all he does. I do this, I do that, I'm not like this, I'm not like that. I give tithes, you know, I give a lot, you know, all this guy. The other guy, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And it says that one man went to his house justified rather than the other. One was accepted, one was not. God doesn't play favorites. No, he doesn't. He doesn't play favorites. He just rewards those who do him right. And he penalizes those who don't. Okay, we shall see that as this goes on. We need to do what's acceptable in God's sight, what's acceptable to God, not what's acceptable to us. Again, the context of this is worship, and we got to be very careful. I throw this out a lot. Gotta love tradition. Why? Because tradition is what the Holy Spirit has handed down to the church. The Holy Spirit, God. The church and the Holy Spirit have always directed that we worship in a certain way. A few decades ago, all that changed. Oh no, we need to do this so people like it. We need to do this to lighten up a little bit. We need to do that. No, we don't. We need to do what God says. This is why there are a lot of places that are not growing. That's why there are archdioceses that have no vocations. How can an archdiocese, not a diocese, an archdiocese, that's big. How can an archdiocese not have vocations to the priesthood? Not one. Not one. Because God is not rewarding them because they are not acceptable to him. And this is objective. This is not subjective. I think we're hearing from the Word of God. Some things are acceptable to him. Some things are not. If we offer him things, and a lot of people get into the whole offering when you offer something when you go to church. Well, that's how much money I give. That's how large my check is. That's not what God's talking about here. That kind of stuff is as important as it is answer. It's like the form in Mass. You know, what we do, how we do it. There are reasons why we do, and they are of the utmost importance. They're acceptable to him, but they're meaningless and unacceptable if you come in here and just do it because I like the way that looks. I like the way that sounds. Or it's traditional just for the sake of not being modern. And no, traditional worship is looked upon positively because that's what the Holy Spirit has given the church. And we want to do what's acceptable in God's sight, not our own. Okay, but if you want to even leave it, it's easy to kind of present that what is acceptable and what is not. If you want to leave it with the whole offering you give, your money, some of it is unacceptable to God. It is not acceptable. It's not like, well, if we find out you got that this way, you're going to get a check back. That's not what I'm talking about here. Why do we come here? Why do we offer to God? That we are justified before him. We want to go to our house like these two people who went to temple. We want to go to our house justified. You will not go. I wrote a check for six figures to the church. Well, if you got that six figures by cheating on your taxes, or you got that six figures by insurance fraud or dishonest business dealings, if you got the money that way, guess what? You're not going to go to your house justified. Like I said, you're not going to get a check back, but you're not going to go down to your house justified. And this is what we want. Justification, being right in the sight of God. That's what we want. And it doesn't have anything to do with what we give, obviously, here. I give tithes of all I have. He didn't go down to his house justified because his heart wasn't right. The acceptable offering to God when you come into worship is your heart. Because what you bring in here, it's not a matter. I go to Mass there. I like the way, I like to hear this. I like to see that. No, it's what you bring here is what makes you acceptable to God or not. Not the fact that you're here or in some other traditional place or listening to a Latin Mass. That is not what makes you acceptable. It's your heart being right. People that generally go to traditional Mass or Latin Mass, things like that, their hearts are generally in the right place because they're there. Not all of them. Some of them, they're there because of what they see and how they see it and all this kind of stuff. But the bottom line is, most people that embrace traditional is because they've come to the conclusion that that's what God wants. Okay, this is the way we should look at this. Every time we come in this place, we are offering a sacrifice of our lives to God. And it's not the sacrifice that I dress up on Sunday morning and I go in and I stand, sit, and kneel, and I go up and receive the Eucharist if I am properly disposed. Those things are, they can be to your detriment, actually, if your heart's not in the right place. Because he expects because when we come in here, we are saying and demonstrating for an hour a week, for those of you going to get more than that for some, we are demonstrating to him a promise to live our lives acceptable to him. Proving things to him. I don't have to prove anything. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. The scriptures use that word. You need to prove things to him. We do by the way we worship. There is a high point in the Mass, the Orate Fratres. Pray, brethren, that this my sacrifice and yours. Notice the words. Pray, brethren, that this my sacrifice, I am sacrificing something here. Pray, brethren, that Jesus sacrificed. No, my sacrifice and yours. So this covers the basis. This is everybody. This is everybody, not just, priests, not just, people who run ministries or do this. Everybody. Everybody needs to prove themselves acceptable to God, and not once, all the time. Pray, brethren, that this my sacrifice and yours. The words, and if a priest is formed properly, a priest knows that when he says those words up there, they are indeed the words of our Lord Jesus Christ up for what he has done for us. But it's also the priest reciprocating God's sacrifice for him and saying, this is my body. The priest is telling Jesus, this is my body. I'm giving this to you. In his context, for the service of the church, for now, forever, I have given myself to you. This is my body, which is given for you. When you hear those words, notice it's not, I just don't leave it with the whole priest. This negates the whole. That's clericalism. Your sacrifice means the same thing. Pray, brethren, that this, my sacrifice and yours, your sacrifice, the sacrifice of yourself, not doing what you want to do in this world, not dressing like you want to do, not talking like you used to, not hanging out with the same people you, that's a sacrifice. And he expects that to be ongoing all the time. St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, offer yourself a living sacrifice. You know, back in the day, you killed an animal. That's once in a while, kill the animal, give it to him. There's the sacrifice. For us, it's much more in the New Testament. We offer ourselves, not animals, we offer ourselves a living sacrifice. Our living, our life is a life of sacrifice to our Lord. This is why that part of the Mass, from henceforth, when you hear it, I hope occasionally you'll think about that. You're offering him a sacrifice and not, again, what you're doing in these four walls. You're offering yourself to him all the time. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. It cost Jesus a lot for you. This is just what, you know, we need to understand that. So this is each and every one of us. Each and every time we come into Mass, each and every day, we're judged on what we do. And it's not a matter of, oh, I've lived 30 years really good, but, you know, now I've really fallen off the wagon, so to speak, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But, you know, I lived my whole life. The prophet Ezekiel, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lets us know the righteous man, the person who has lived his whole life righteously, if he turns it from his righteousness and embraces wickedness, he will die in his sin. And conversely, he says, if you live a wicked life and if you turn from that and you embrace righteousness, everybody likes that latter part. It doesn't matter what I do. If I'm righteous, when I die, I'll be good to go. You don't know when you're going to die, for one thing. So that's kind of walking on thin ice. But that first part of it, a lot of people, and Ezekiel, even back in his day, because he addresses it, a lot of people, that's not fair. I live my whole life really good. Okay, I do this now. No. It is not what you have done before. It's what you're doing right now. It's your state of grace that justifies you or not, that makes you acceptable or not. Pharisee tax collector. Tax collectors were unrighteous, but he just confesses to God and he goes down to his house justified. And the righteous guy who gives tithes and does all the dotting the I's and crossing the T's, he does not go down justified. So when we come in here, you know, we're not offering God a bribe. As a matter of fact, the reading today started in the last one-third of verse 12 of Sirach 35. The verse starts out with the phrase, do not offer him a bribe. What do you mean by that? Because, I mean, he's God. What can you give him, you know, that makes him more God, or that, you know, what he doesn't have already? You know, what does he mean about bribe? These are those people who make deals with God. Oh, if this doesn't happen to me, I'll do this. Or if this will happen for me, I'll do that. You don't make deals with God. He's not in that business. He doesn't want your things. He doesn't want you to do things at a certain time. He wants you to live a certain way. That's the reality of things. God will not, it says it explicitly, God will not accept our gifts if they're tainted with sin. You come here, because a lot of people, they come to, you know, oh, yeah, I did this week, but I'll go to church and everything will be okay. No, it doesn't work that way. Yeah, you got to come to church because you're not your obligation. Do not come up to this altar rail. This is why every time I mention receiving the Eucharist, no matter what the context is, every time I mention receiving the Eucharist, I always add that if you are properly disposed, the Eucharistic rail is not the time in the Mass where everybody comes up and receives Jesus. No, it's not. It's not a reenactment of the Lord's Supper. It's not any of that good stuff that you hear about anymore. It's you and Jesus. You need to be righteous before his eyes. You need to be acceptable or you eat and drink judgment to yourself. 1 Corinthians 11. Another scripture passage that you never hear anymore in the Catholic Church, except in traditional places. You need to be properly disposed. You need to offer it acceptable. So it's just the opposite of the way most people think about it. Well, I'll go to church and everything will be okay. I'll receive the Eucharist and everything will be okay with me. No, it can make it worse for you. Not necessarily it can. It will make it worse for you. That's just the reality of things. Thus saith the Lord, 1 Corinthians. So, we've got to get oriented properly to this whole thing. And this doesn't apply to just holy people. This applies to everyone. We love that, do we not love that terminology? It's actually used in Sirach. The Lord is the judge, and with him is no partiality. With him is no partiality. Doesn't that sound nice? He accepts everybody. He accepts everybody. No. It should be, it's really up in your face. If he's impartial, it means it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have to bring. He expects acceptable worship, no matter who you are. A lot of folks in our church, in our day and age, here, God's impartial, and all of a sudden social justice comes flying up in their mouth. The social justice this, the social. Does God's impartiality inform our social justice and the way we approach the world? Yes, it does. Absolutely. But social justice isn't why the church exists. Social justice is a manifestation of a healthy church. That's what it's all about. Here are these terminology that we use now. The preferential option for the poor. You know what? That's not in Scripture. It's not in any writings of the church. Anywhere before like the 1980s. I mean, I was grown then. You know, I was living life in the 1980s. That's how new that term is. Preferential option for the poor. That's never been presented. It sounds nice. I mean, Leo XIII in 1891 started talking about social justice. That's not even ancient history. That was like 12 years before my grandfather was born. So, you know, this whole social justice thing, it's a relatively new thing in the way we approach the world. And it's a good thing. And so but we cannot make social justice the idol. The poor are not like little gods running around this earth. Because for one thing, a lot of people have a bad definition of the poor. When Leo XIII talked about poor, he's talking about people who were going to die because there was no one to, and they had no control whatsoever over their situation. And it's just consequence of a solid faith that you don't let that happen to people. But I mean, even Paul VI in the 1970s, he talks about not the preferential option for the poor, but the preferential respect for the poor. I mean, really, and he's correct. You know, do you have to respect rich people? They can generally fend for themselves. So when he says preferential respect, he goes on to say, so as to place our goods, if you have them, generously at the service of others. Notice he does not say, this is Paul VI, this is Vatican II guy. He is all about Vatican II. He's all about the new mass and everything. So I don't quote him generally. But I mean, you got to quote him in there because he doesn't say preferential options. He says preferential respect for the poor, so as to place their goods generously at the service of others. He doesn't say word about it. You need to take some of your stuff and give it to them so they have as much as you. That's liberation theology. It's a heresy. Okay, the church has said that. Although some hierarchs in the church, whether tacitly or explicitly, embrace it again. It's a heresy. It's not about making everybody equal. Nobody's ever going to be equal. Jesus does. The poor you will always have with you. Jesus says this. Everybody's not going to be equal. Paul VI said, and rightfully so. Use the goods generously that you have at the service of others. That might be giving it to them, but it also might be giving it to the church because the church friends are people. It might be giving it to a charitable organization. It might be helping a friend that's down with their rent. That you know, it might be anything like that. That's a preferential respect for the poor. But I said, you know, we live in a day and age where the poor, oh, that poor person over there. Wow, poor person that's morbidly obese and has a cell phone in a car that's like 2 years old. That's not poor. That's not poor. The gospel does not speak of the poor, like, you know, again, that they should be idolized. I mean that in a pure sense. That they should be the end-all be-all of why the church exists. Because when we talk about the poor, we're not talking about the indolent. We're not talking about the lazy. We're not talking about people who exploit people who have things so they can get more than they already have. We're not talking about those people. That whole Thessalonians thing with St. Paul, those who do not work, they should not eat. Poor people are people who are like that through no fault of their own. Circumstances of life, this, that, or anything, whatever they may be, but it's no fault of their own, and they try. God doesn't do lazy. He doesn't do lazy in the world. He doesn't do lazy in the church. I'll throw the gauntlet. Let's get back into this whole worship thing. I'll throw the gauntlet. You need to come as you are. Throw the gauntlet of you search your scriptures and you email me or you come to the office and show me one place, one, where it says it's okay to come as you are. It's just the opposite. The absolute opposite. You bring your best. You bring your best. This is what God expects. That is acceptable to Him. Your best might not be near what a person of means, their best is. May not be that at all. You may be more acceptable than that because God looks at what's on the inside. But what's on the inside is going to be manifest on the outside. This is why this whole form and liturgy thing is, this is why we are so reverential. And this is why we try to be as polished and do as nice as we possibly can for God, because He deserves it and He expects that. That whole busting the vessel with the nard in it, pure nard, that could have been sold and given to the poor. The poor you always have with you. What she has done will be remembered for all eternity. Wow. Jesus accepts good things that we give Him because He deserves them. So he whose service is pleasing to the Lord is acceptable. He who's not is not. It just doesn't leave it with they're not acceptable. This is one of those things that you didn't hear in the lectionary today, but it does. It's not just that they're not accepted. There's a little tidbit in there about He repays with vengeance those who are unacceptable to Him. According to their deeds and the works of men, according to their devices, He will crush their loins in the older English versions. There's consequences to this. It's spiritual. Just like the spiritual consequences of the guy, oh, I do this, I do that, I do that. No. And then when we hear things like this, it's a matter, I'll tie this all up. When we hear things like this, this is not a matter of, look at how bad you might be in doing how deficient you might be. And the message isn't beat yourself up over this, that, or it's fix it. Fix it. Am I properly disposed to go to communion? Well, there are some objective things like having gone to confession within the last calendar year, maintained the Eucharistic fast, being a Catholic, those kind of little things like that. That puts you in a proper disposition. Am I in any mortal sin? Am I involved in any grave sin? Those are objective things. You might have your own thing. Oh, maybe I am, maybe I. Fix it. It's called the confessional. There you go. It's that easy. Oh, I'm embarrassed. That's all part of that contrition thing, part of it. This is the reality. We don't want to be on the consequence side of this coin. Fix things. Fix things, and when we fix things, we will worship Him properly. Not just in the way we look when we come here, not what we wear, not what sitting, kneeling, and standing, and listening to organs and things like that. All of that is of the utmost importance, as I said. But why do we do it? Why? Because God says it. I like that kind of music, or I like this music over at this place, so I'm going to go there. Does God like that kind of music? Well, how do you tell what kind of music God likes? If it worships Him as opposed to saying how great you are, or giving false messages like all are welcome, that's badness. That's not acceptable. That is not acceptable. The scripture tells how to worship. Little things like in the Psalms, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Come before His presence with thanksgiving in silence, because it's all about Him while we're here. The New Testament, serve pleasing to God with fear and reverence. This is how God has told us we need to be worshiped. He needs to be worshiped like that. Clapping for one another and asking you where you're from and all this other kind of, that's trash. It's unacceptable. That's just reality. By their fruits you will know them. Places where that goes on, look at them. The places that don't, they're going by leaps and bounds. By their fruits you will know them. We need to make sure our interiors are squared away so they are acceptable to God. And that will be manifest in what we do when we come and worship Him. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.